Once you found your place in 1 Timothy chapter 6, if you're able to stand for one more time in respect to God's word, please do so. And we're going to start reading from verse 6. The Bible says there, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through many sorrows." Notice this verse. "But thou, O men of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Verse 17. "Charge them that are rich in this world that they should be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust." Let's pray. Father, we do ask and pray that you bless your word to us and that you'd speak to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The management of a greeting card company decided to do something special for Mother's Day one day and had opened a table in a federal prison correctional center and had allowed and invited the inmates to come and take a Mother's Day card to send to their mothers. And they had the inmates line up between their dorms, and the lines were packed. Well, because it was so successful, they thought to do the same things on Father's Day. And unfortunately, on that day, they were shocked and surprised that not even one inmate had come to the table. They had realized that the inmates did not feel the need to come because they didn't have a father figure in their life. And many didn't have fathers at all. To the point where they weren't present. To the point where they were occupied in other things. They did not seem to have the need to write a card for their father. We live in our country today, specifically in this day that celebrates Father's Day. Our nation stops at this day. But I wonder if they truly understand what it means to be a father. I wonder if they understand what it means to be a father who would live up to that name, if you would. Well, to be a father that will live up to their name is to be, no doubt, a man of God. And I want to speak on this subject today called the man of God. If anyone is going to be a good father or a good husband, they need to start to be a man of God. You cannot be a good father or a good husband if you're not a man of God. We look at this statement which he applies to Timothy in that verse 11, and he says, "O man of God," what a statement to have. I mean, he wasn't the man of Satan, the man of the world, the man of pride, man of money. No, he stated the statement and he said, "O man of God." Now, that's a statement that is honorable. But to have that statement and to live up to that name is two different things. And I want to give you some principles this morning that you'd live up to the name man of God. These principles are found in, no doubt, in God's word in order for us to be good fathers and good husbands. I want you to see in first place there, if in order any of us to be a man of God, we need to be rich in godliness. Notice that in verse 6. It says, but godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. Number one there, being fulfilled with the things of God. In other words, to be satisfied with the things of God. We have been delivered from sin, amen? We've been delivered from the destruction of what sin has done to us. We've been delivered from also the penalty of sin and the future payment of judgment to come. We can be delivered from the very power of sin and one day, praise God, from the very presence of sin. And what God does with a man of God, or even any person, we can even apply it to a lady, is not only he saves them, but he separates them unto himself. The uniqueness of a man of God is someone that is separated unto God and now wants to walk after God and follow God. Now, the thing with that is a great thought, and it's a great a statement to have, but to know that and to live it is two different things. So many a times in your growth or your sanctification, be separated from the world and separated to God can be frustrating. I mean, I remember a lot of things that God had pointed out in my life, and look, these were good things then, weren't necessarily bad things, but they weren't the best things. And at times, well, they were frustrating. You'd find yourself agitated, and you find yourself, at times lonely, and at times you think to yourself, okay, I left some of these things behind me, and now God wants to replace these things with His kind of things. And the difference between living up to godliness is being content in what God is doing in your life. See, God can bring you to a point of your life, but if you're not in content with that, then you're going to be very frustrated in your life. So godliness with contentment is great gain. And if a man is going to be rich in godliness and he's going to become a man of God, then what he needs to do is be content with what God is doing in his life. And that means is your will versus God's will. And they're always going to clash. No matter where you are in your Christian life, God is always going to press you forward. God's always going to do something for your growth. God is always going to get you to this rich godliness, you know, separated from the world to Him. We never want to come into our time where we're apprehended. There's always going to be growth and a moving forward, if you would. And I really believe if a man of God wants to be a man of God, then he needs to be happy with it. So frustrating to be a man of God with the statement of having a man of God, and God's doing a great work in that person's life by the Spirit of God, when that man quenches the Spirit of God and looks back to Egypt, if you would, or looks back to the things that he once was saved from, and now the appetite comes back up again sometime in his life. It's terrible. It's a terrible thing to go back to that which you once rejected. You came to the Lord Jesus Christ. No doubt everyone that is in Christ is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God will even bring you to the point of your life, perhaps when your salary may change. You know, I remember having a salary, maybe about coming up to $100,000 plus commission. And then it went down over the years. Went down to about 50. When I was working for myself, 50 to 60, 70. And then it went down to 30. And I went through a stage which God had pressed me in these circumstances of life. When I came to the reality of my life and said, Lord, I'm not happy. I'm not happy unless I am where you want me to be. I found myself just to let go and let God and say, God, if this is what you want, this is what you want, then this is fine. I want to be content with your leading. And the thoughts did come across my mind. How are we going to get through? And how are we going to pay this? And how are we going to do this? Because we wanted to do some things, great things that God will allow us to do. And sometimes you need money to do it. But then again, we thought to ourselves, God owns cattle on 1,000 hills. God is able to do it. But the restriction and the pruning, if you would, and the calling came with a lot of frustrations. But it was only frustrating when we did not yield to it. And the man of God needs to yield to God and what he's doing and directing him. God promises that he'll never leave us nor forsake us, according to Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things that ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Where God directs, he's going to protect. Where God guides, he's going to provide. And there's no doubt about that. I heard about a little boy that basically wanted to go to the birthday party. He asked his dad, Dad, I want to go to this birthday party that's in a month time. He said, can I go? And his father allowed him to go. It was only a few blocks down the street. And the little boy was so eager and wanting to go to this birthday party, he's counting the days. And then one day, the date of the birthday party, a storm hit and there was a blizzard and snow caved in the car to the point where he couldn't back out to take his son to the party. And the little boy was so upset, so distressed. He was counting the days. He went to his dad and he said, Dad, can I go? It's just only a few blocks. I can walk it. I can make it. And he said to him, son, no, you can't go. And he persisted with his dad. He says, Dad, but you understand, I know you're looking out for me, but please just let me go. I really want to go. His father thought about it for a while. And he says, okay, go. And as the boy had gone to that place, when he got to the house, he kind of looked back and he found his dad walking back home. Realized that his father was following all the way to the house to make sure that he was okay. That's with our Heavenly Father. God's not going to direct us to a place where he's not going to protect us. And God's not going to direct us or guide us to a place where he's not going to provide. And so I need to understand that godliness with contentment is great gain. I need to trust God in all things and that he'll never leave me nor forsake me. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Jesus wasn't even just talking about the things that perhaps we want, but Jesus hits the nail on the head in Matthew 6:25, and he talks about the necessities of life. He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you should eat or what you should drink, nor for your body, what you should put on. He goes and says this, is not life more? Absolutely. Is not life more than meat and the body than raiment? There's got to be life than more than just eating and surviving and clothes. And there is. Then look, what Jesus is trying to say is there's just more to life than this life here. He hits the nail on the head when talks about the daily necessities, rounds it up in verse 33. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that the Gentiles seek after, God's going to take care of it. Don't worry about it. But there's life more than just food and surviving. There's life more than this things. There's life is more than just money and career and success and position and having this and having that. But Jesus just talks about the necessities of life. He says, life is just more than just eating and drinking, sleeping. There's life more than just surviving. And it's in God. Rich in godliness, finding your place in God. But he also says to Timothy, not only to fulfill, be satisfied with the things of God, be fulfilled with the things of God, be content with godliness, but he also says this, to flee these things. And what is he talking about? Well, he says there in verse 9, but they that will be rich, he says, flee from chasing the dollar. Flee from making the dollar your God. Don't desire to be rich. Don't desire to have more than enough. Don't covet after the things that you really don't need in life. He says in verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money, by the way, it's the love of money. There's nothing wrong with money in itself. Money helps us get by. And by the way, let me say this to you. There are people that have studied. There are people that have dedicated themselves to education. And they don't need to work 10 to 15 hours a day. They probably work their 8 hours a day, go home, and they're really well off. They make a really good amount of money. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay, there's nothing wrong with honest and hard work. But there's something wrong when you love the dollar.
There's something wrong when you chase the dollar, when you go after the dollar to get rich and to have more than enough. He says, flee from wanting, having a desire to be rich. Flee from wanting to chasing that dollar for money. For money is the root of all evil, the love of it anyway. He says to have money is not wrong. Well, an indication that a person loves money is when money controls that person. And it's not a coincidence that you can see Paul's passion behind this of saying to Timothy, oh, Timothy. I mean, can you just see? And it was just a letter. But the, oh, can you can see his heart. You can see his heart. You can see the writing of his pen. And you can almost hear his voice coming out of the page. I don't know about you. That's what happens to me when I read it. The book is alive. It's real. And he's saying, hey, there are many men that have gone after the dollar. They're godly men. And now they've erred from the faith. Oh, Timothy, flee these things. You know, Timothy would not ever, Paul would not ever give Timothy an instruction if it was impossible to do what he would think for him to do. It is possible for a man of God to run after the dollar. There's no doubt about that. That's why it's an instruction that he wants him to flee from having a desire to be rich. Flee from having a desire to pursue after things that you don't really need. And then look at what are the consequences in verse 9 and 10 for a man of God pursuing after riches. What are the consequences? Verse 9, it says, fall into many temptation and a snare. This, he's prone to fall. It's not just tempted. He falls into temptation. And he falls into a snare. He falls into the trap and the lies of Satan, if you would. He falls into the trap of working hard and missing out on family time. A person that would follow after the dollar and just simply have a desire to get gain and store up in his barns is prone to fall into temptation. And you know, let me say this, lose the family. Lose his faith. Lose his integrity. And Satan has got him where he wants him. He's trapped him. You know, they said to the richest man in the world, they said this to him. They said, when's it enough? You know what he said? Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. The more money that comes in, the more that you want. And it controls you. He says, the temptation, you fall into it. It's a trap. And before you know it, you're losing your family. You're losing your faith. You're losing your testimony. Those that fall into it have trapped themselves in the snare of Satan. What did Jesus say to the devil when he tempted him? He said, bow down to me and I'll give you all these things. He showed him. And he says, I only worship one God and it's not money. I only worship one God and it's not my career. Anything wrong with money? No. Anything wrong with a career? No, not at all. But they're not my God. He's my God. And he sets my direction. My career's not going to set my direction. God's going to set my direction. Money's not going to set my direction. God's going to set my direction. And so Jesus said, it is written, to worship the Lord God and only him will I serve. Satan knows how to tempt people today, but Paul the Apostle says to Timothy, Timothy, flee. Why? Because you can fall into temptation. And you can fall into a snare, a trap. And verse 9, and fall into many foolish and hurtful lusts. 1 John 2:16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Pride, position, possession, and being popular is not of the Father. It's of the world. It's fleshly. And he said, Timothy, listen, those people that run after it, they're going to fall into pride. They're going to fall into having possession and being governed by those things and being popular and having a position and a name. Proverbs 19 verse 1 says, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. In verse 9 also, he goes on to say, riches drown men into destruction and perdition. Let me say something here today. What happened to Judas? Went and hung himself. By the way, he threw the money back at the Pharisees, knowing that money can't buy you happiness. Following after the money and loving money, even to the point where you lose your integrity, even to the point where you're making it your God, is not going to last. It brings destruction to the home, to your life, even to your soul. What happened to the rich man? He's in hell. Why? Because he followed after money. Money was his God. Now, is it possible for a saved man to go back and pursue these things? Absolutely. And he says, flee these things. Don't be caught up in these things. In Bible college, they warned us to be careful of three different things: pride, females, and money. Because these are the things that will destroy a man when he runs after wanting to be famous, popular, runs after money, wanting to be successful, and wanting to have this and have that. And when he looks around, his eyes wander, when he should keep it only on his wife. But money surely is one of them. It destroys a man. It destroys his body, and it destroys his soul. Destroys his life. And Demas went and ruined his life. Man that erred from the faith. Verse 10. That's what happens too. Note 2 Timothy 4:10. Demas hath forsaken me, Paul said, having loved this present world. You know, Demas was a man that erred from the faith. You say, well, was he saved? We don't really know where he was or wasn't. The Bible doesn't really say. But what the Bible does say, that he was alongside working with Paul the Apostle. We can see that Demas was in the ministry to the point that Paul even sends his greetings to other people, saying, Demas also sends his greetings. And God allowed that for us to see. You say, why? Is it possible for someone to be in the ministry and then go back pursuing the things of the world? Absolutely. But it's a terrible thing to err from the faith, to go from the faith. No man can serve two masters. Either he'll love the one and hate the other, he'll despise the one and cling to the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Jesus made it very clear. And then verse 10, pierced themselves through many sorrows. Greed cannot buy you joy or happiness. Greed will not fill your appetite. Greed, Timothy, will not fix your problems. Money is not the answer to things. Being rich in godliness is. Being content with your needs in Christ. Being content with what God has given you. Be fleeing these things. But then he goes on to say, following after these things. Following after. What does he say? Well, he says, flee from being rich, because the consequences are evident, Timothy. But now what I want you to do is follow after, in verse 11, righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Righteousness is to do right, to live right. And the Bible, no doubt, is the standard for that. Turn your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want you to flee these things, Timothy, and I want you to follow after what is right. And we know that the Word of God is right, pure, holy. A man, a person that wants to be a man of God and live up to that name, needs to be rich in godliness, satisfied with his Savior, where his Savior is taking him, satisfied and content with what God is doing with him, and also fleeing from the pursuit of being rich and possession, pride, and all the rest of that. But he says, now I want you to follow after righteousness. The Bible says there, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. There you go there. Follow after righteousness. Now, this second time this phrase uses man of God in the New Testament, and it only appears twice. First time when he instructs Timothy to follow after the things that he wants him, that the Lord wants him to follow, but also here, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, unto all good works. So in other words, if he's following after righteousness, he's a man of the book. He's a man of the Bible. He loves the Bible and he wants to allow the Bible to perfect him in righteousness. He wants to know what's right and do it. He wants to know what's right and live it. And that's what he says, follow after righteousness. He's a man of the word, and a man of the word is the man of his word. He's got integrity because he follows after the right person, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Righteousness. Godliness is the next one. Piety or holiness, like God or Christ-like, rich in God, rich in godliness, Christ-likeness. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Let me tell you something. When you're rich in godliness, you're rich in the gospel. Amen. You won't be a person that is ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be a person that will be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 and 8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. That word comes from the Greek word martes, which is martyr. I'll tell you what's not going to stop you, Timothy, when you follow after godliness. You're a man of God. You're the man of the gospel. You're not ashamed of the gospel. A few words or laughter here and there is not going to stop you. We don't go through what the people went through in persecution back then, what we go through now. We probably get a few laughs here and there, but we don't get persecuted like they once did, or even in some countries. They really get persecuted there. But those that live godly shall suffer persecution. And those that are like God or Christ-like, going about spreading the word, those that are not ashamed of the gospel. Godliness, being rich in godliness, is being a man of the gospel, being a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not being selfish, but selfless, someone that walks about and be's a witness for the gospel, shares his testimony, shares his life-changing experience to the people that he meets. He's not ashamed. He's not ashamed. But not also a man of the gospel, but he's a man of conviction. A man of conviction. We see that godliness brings about conviction, which a lot of people might rebuke you or just probably at the end of the day persecute you because you're a man of conviction. You don't want to do the things that you used to do, and some things that you abstain from, you don't want to do. He's a man that has convictions, a man that has biblical reasons for his convictions. He doesn't just come out with these convictions on his own. He has biblical proof that these convictions are from the Word of God. These principles are for the Word of God. He's a man of conviction. To be rich in godliness is to be a man of conviction, man of the gospel and a man of conviction. He doesn't want to watch the things that he used to watch. He's a man of conviction. He doesn't want to go to the places he used to go. He's a man of conviction. He doesn't want to do the things that he used to do. He's a man of conviction. And he's got biblical proof. He's guided by grace in the Word of God. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Give him place there. Separate. God, sanctify, holy, godliness, piety. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready. And be ready to give an answer to everyone that asketh you of the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Why don't you do that? Why don't you go there? Why don't you say this? Why don't you watch that? A man of conviction. There ought to be a difference. There ought to be like Christ, like a peculiar people. And rich, man of God, is peculiar. There ought to be a difference. There ought to be a mark there. He's rich and godliness. Not only that, but he's a man of faith. Follow after faith, he says this. Timothy, I want you to flee these things and follow after faith. For without faith, it's impossible to please him. Turn to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 in your Bibles. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In verse 6. Be faithful to follow after the things of God by faith. In verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Noah was a man of faith. Timothy, I want you to be a man of faith. I want you to believe God's word. Things to come, they're going to come. The time is at hand. The time of the Lord Jesus Christ is at hand. I want you to redeem the time. But in order for you to be redeeming the time, you've got to be a man of faith, believing that he's going to come again. A man of faith who was moved. We know we need men that are moved by fear of God, men of faith, believing God. Not only that, Abraham was a man of faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place where he should after receive for an inheritance, what did he do? He obeyed. A man of faith obeys the living God, wants to follow God in obedience. He's not self-appointed, he's God-appointed. And his steps are directed by God. His love constrains him. For the love of Christ constrains us. For we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Man of faith believes that he's been saved. Man of faith believes in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he wants to now walk in the newness of life. He wants to follow after Christ. He has a new life, a new direction, and he wants to be a faithful man. Faith in God moves a man to obey the living God. But then he goes on to say, love, follow after love. Not only faith, but love. And this is the unconditional love, the agape love. No strings attached, a love that forgives. A man that is rich in godliness is a man that forgives. A man that is tender to forgiveness, kindness to others. And not only a man that forgives, but a man that is willing to ask for forgiveness. You know, who humble himself and ask for forgiveness when he's done wrong. He'll admit his faults and his errors. He's a man that also gives his life for others. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So he's a man that will show love, and that love only comes from the Spirit of God. But also patience. That's to have a cheerful endurance, to be patient. James 1 says, and verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. He says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be what? Perfect and mature and entire, wanting nothing. God wants to get you rich in godliness, rich in him. He wants you to be rich in the way of the word. And he wants you to be a patient man, waiting on God. Not a man of the world, not a man of Satan, not a man of pride, not a man of money, not a man of possession, but a man of God. A man of God is rich in godliness. And this patient man is willing to wait on God, willing to wait on God's best, but also he's a man of meekness, humility, gentleness. He's not arrogant or prideful. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5, 6, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Someone said this, that meekness is not weakness. Amen? And it's true. Meekness is not weakness. It's very important that we be humble before the hand of God, so God doesn't resist us. What a scary thing to be resisted by God. I want you to see that this is entwined with verse 17, 1 Timothy 6:17, about being meek. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. Try to think about rich. Am I part of this? Rich in this world? Or do I have to be a millionaire? Do I have to be a millionaire and a billionaire to be rich? I thought about it. What did the rich man do? He was eating all the different kind of foods he had there on the table. He was a rich man. Nothing wrong. God has given us all things richly to enjoy. But the problem with the rich man is that he lived for himself. He didn't even recognize the poor man. He wasn't willing to distribute, as we're going to see tonight. But I consider myself rich. You say, why? Because I could eat anything I want. I can grab anything, not all the time, but my hands are on the tip of things. I'm not begging for bread. I'm not begging for the crumbs that fall off a rich man's table. So I consider myself to be rich. And I look at this verse and I think to myself, Charlie, don't be high-minded. Don't be proud. For man of God is rich in godliness, but he's rich in God. He's not lifted up in pride. He's not arrogant. He's a man of God, full of God. He's not full of himself. Full of God. He's not full of his ambitions, his knowledge, his experience and what he's done. The Bible says there in Proverbs 21:4, a high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Proverbs 6:16, God says he hates these seven things. Six things does the Lord hate. Yes, seven are an abomination. Now, notice the first one that he mentions, a proud look. So I hate it. I don't want a proud look. I don't want the nose to go up in the air. I don't want you to have that in your heart. Your countenance can be humble, like some religious rulers might have. Oh, bless you, my son. But in their heart, they have a high look. God wants you to have a humility in heart. Don't be high-minded. Don't look at yourself to be something that you're not. Timothy, charge them that are rich to be careful of being boasters, proud. And then he goes on to say there, in verse 17, nor to trust in uncertain riches, not to be independent, not to be self-confident, not to trust uncertain riches. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:4, labor not to be rich, cease from thy own wisdom. Will thou set thy eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, they fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Labor not to be rich. Yes, labor, but not to be rich. If it comes because of your hard work, praise the Lord that it's come. But don't pursue it. Don't run after it. Don't labor to be rich, because they're just going to go flying away. At the end of the day, what God did and allowed in the Old Testament when they left the work of the temple so they can go build their estates, they left the work of the temple. God says, I'm going to put holes in your bags. I'm going to put holes in your bags. You're putting money in, it's going to come back out. Holes in your bags. They're going to come in, but they're going to fly away. Don't leave the things of God to chase your own affairs. Now be rich in God, because riches, they're going to fly away. It's not going to last at the end of it. Be rich in God. Man of God is rich in godliness and is rich in God, is God dependent. Proverbs 30, if you turn your Bibles there. Proverbs 30, verse 7. Not independent, Timothy, not self-confident. I want you to be God-dependent. I want you to be God-confident. Don't trust in uncertain riches. Verse 7 in Proverbs 30 says, two things I have required of thee. He says, deny me them not before I die. He says this, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty or riches. Feed me with the food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and still and take the name of God in vain. Lord, I just want you to supply my needs. I want you to supply my needs. You know, the thing is, I don't know about you, but when you were growing up, a teenager, and you started working and you got your first paycheck, how exciting was that? Your first paycheck, I mean, all you got was an allowance, $20 here, there, and all that. But when you got your first paycheck, $500, whoa! Man, you wanted to go and work some more. No, don't trust in your riches. Yeah, work hard, but don't set your heart on that. Be God dependent, because it is God that gives us all things. I say, Lord, please just give me enough to survive, to serve you. Don't give me more than enough. Just give me enough. If it comes in because of the hard work, praise God. I want to use it for your glory. I want to use it for the glory of God. I want to use it for the sake of the gospel. And says there in verse 17, but trust in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Let me say this to you today. A man of God that's rich in God understands where his riches come from. Understands that the money has come from God. The ability to work is from Him. Everything that we have in this world is from God. He says in Psalm 50 verse 10, he says, for every beast of the forest is mine. Every cattle upon the thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains. And the wild beasts of the field, he says, God says, they're mine. Man of God knows that all things comes from God. All things come from him. And by the way, let me say this to you today. It's all right to enjoy the things that God gives us. Amen. He says, God has given us these things to richly to enjoy. Praise God for that. To enjoy them, but not to abuse it. Being in this world, not abusing the world, not abusing what God has given us, but being God dependent, knowing where it came from, knowing that he's the source of every blessing. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from the Father of lights. God is the giver of life. God is the gift giver. God is the one that allowed us to have these possessions. It is God that gives us these things. You know, the thing is this, some people, the problem is they leave God out of the picture. The rich man is left God out of the picture. And that's why it became a problem. I want you to turn your Bibles to Psalm 49. We're closing. And then we'll finish the third and fourth points tonight about a man of God is not only rich in godliness and rich in God, but he's rich in good works and also rich in great integrity. But open your Bibles to Psalm 49. Psalm 49. The Bible says there in Psalm 49, verse 16, he says, "Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him." Wow. "Though while he lived, he blessed his soul, and men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. He shall go to the generations of his fathers, and thou shalt never see light." Man that is in honor and understanding not is like the beast that perish. Wow. It's like an animal that dies. A man that goes after money, a man that is rich in possession and is not rich in godliness and not rich in God and is not godly, he's going to die like an animal. Heavy words. His name's not going to be remembered. He's not going to leave a legacy for his children to follow after. We're going to see later on the second, fourth point tonight, men of great integrity, leaving a legacy behind for our children, giving them an appetite saying, "I want to follow the God of my father. I want to follow the God of my father, the real living God." Timothy, don't desire to be rich. Don't pursue after these things. Be godly. Be a man of righteousness, a man of faith, man of love and patience. Be a godly man. Because if you desire to be rich and you pursue after these things, you're only going to find yourself in destruction. Oh, Timothy, trust in the living God. For he's the one that given you all things. Be rich in God. Timothy, be rich in God. Men of the faith, be rich in God. Be rich in God. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to give you a moment to think about that. Say, I want to be a good father. Before being a good father, I need to be a man of God. A man of God. That is rich in godliness. Rich in God. I need to be a good husband. But before I can do that, I need to be a man of God. Rich in godliness. Rich in God. See, God spoke to my heart. I don't want to be high-minded. I don't want to be high-minded. I want God to keep my heart humble. I want to be rich in him. I want his grace. I don't want God to resist me. Oh God, I want to be rich in you. You say, I've made a decision. God spoke to my heart today. Please pray for me when you close off in prayer, anyone like that. So I've made a decision. Amen. 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 I want to be rich in godliness. I want to be rich in God. Made a decision. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to take this lightly. I haven't arrived yet. I haven't attained. God's still got some work to do here. And I want God to lead me and direct me. I've made a decision today. I want to be a man of faith, a man of godliness, a man of a gospel. Maybe God spoke to you as well. You're sitting here. You say, oh, I don't know if I'd go to heaven when I die. I don't have this rejoicing in my heart. I don't have a new song. I'm frustrated. I don't know if I die, I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure, but today I want to be sure. Please pray for me. So I want to know that I'd go to heaven. I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. I've never come to Him and asked Him to save me from my sin. But today, I want that to be the day. You say, please pray for me. Anyone like that, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, no one's watching. You say, Charlie, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but today I want to be sure. Today I want to be rich in Christ. I want to be made righteous in Him. I want to have the title, and then I want to live up to it by faith. Anyone like that? Say, please pray for me. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% that I'm saved, but I want to be making sure today that I'm right with God. Anyone like that? Anyone like that? Father in heaven, Lord God, I just come before you right now and praise you for your word that you've given to us. Thank you so much, Heavenly Father, for the instruction and the warning that you gave to Timothy, and that we can lean and glean from and take that warning to apply in our own life. We want to be rich in God, Lord God. Thank you, Father, for the souls that have put their hand up. The souls, Lord God, that have made a decision to continue to trust you, to continue to surrender all things in your hands. And Lord, I surely need that too. Give us your grace, dear God. Help us in this understanding of our minds. Help us, dear God, not to be a Demas. Help us not to err from the faith. Oh, Heavenly Father, help us not to stray away, not to be a statistic. Oh, Lord, help us from being a statistic. But help us to be men of God that will lead our children to love you, to put you first, to follow after you, to be rich in godliness, to be rich in you. Help us to set that example by your grace. Father, we love you. We're so thankful for your word. We're so thankful for the Holy Spirit of God. We're so thankful for giving us all things richly to enjoy. We praise you and thank you for your great grace in our lives. We appreciate you, Lord God, and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, if you turn your bulletins, if you open up your bulletins, we're going to sing our last song for the closing of the service. It's called Faithful Men, and it's in your bulletins. So Brother Nathan will come and lead us in that.